Hello and welcome to the Raw podcast brought to you by the Sunderland Echo. We're back for another preview podcast ahead of Sunderland's championship match against Watford at Vicarage Road. My name is Joe Nicholson and I'm joined by James Batchelor from the Watford Way podcast. James, how's things?
I'm all good, thank you very much. And yeah, looking forward to the game at the weekend. Not long now until the end of the season, hoping to end on a positive note. So yes, I'm all good, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two games to go for both sides, starting with that game on Saturday at Vicarage Road. And big news coming out of Watford yesterday. We're recording this on Thursday, that they've appointed Tom Cleverley as their permanent head coach now. He was appointed as interim head coach last month. So what did you make of that decision? Was it a surprise for Cleverley to get the job full-time? What did you make of that?
I think it was a surprise to see the announcement come yesterday afternoon. I had a gut feeling that we might hear from the club prior to the end of the season. And of course, this is Watford's last home game before the season concludes. So I think it's actually good timing from a PR perspective to announce Cleverley before the final home game, so he gets a good ovation from the crowd and hopefully some added motivation for the players as well, because now they know who the manager will be next season. Hopefully that will motivate them for the final couple of games, because both sides, Sunderland and Watford, you could argue we're both on the beach now, really. We're kind of away from any fear of relegation. I think from the Watford players' perspective as well, it adds some motivation and something to play for in these final couple of games. But a lot of Watford fans are delighted with the news, me included. Tom Cleverley has played over half of his professional career games at Watford, has captained the club during our promotion back to the Premier League back in 2021. And is an all-round top professional. He's managed the under-18s at the start of the season as well. We got the interim job after Valerian Ismail was sacked. And as you mentioned, he's just been appointed as the full-time head coach. So my reaction is delighted. It's a lovely bloke as well, which is always nice. So yeah, really happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as you mentioned there, just both sides, not on paper, not really much to play for. There's 3 points separating the two sides. Sunderland in 13th, Watford 3 points behind them in 15th. So neither of them are going to go up. Neither of them are going to go down. So as you say there, probably from a PR perspective, a good chance to appoint Cleverley for their final home game of the season. And it sounds like from what you're saying there that he is a popular appointment. Probably you could maybe see it as a bit of a risk. He's still only 34 and only retired, didn't he, last summer from actually being a player. So, but it seems like he's held very highly at Watford. Sunderland's interim boss, Mike Dodds, today described him as a legend, which I thought was a strong word to use. But is that how highly he's regarded at Watford?
I would say legend status is probably the correct word to use, actually. Okay. He's not had, you know, the most successful career at Watford in terms of going on to achieve great things, but he was part of the squad that reached the FA Cup final against Manchester City back in 2019. As I mentioned earlier, he was also part of the 2021 promotion squad that happened during that COVID lockdown season. And as I said, he's an all-round top professional as well. He knows the club, he's captained the club. And a lot of the players you'll see on Saturday afternoon, he actually played with last season himself as well, which I think is an added bonus from that perspective as well. So I would agree with that. I think most Watford fans, including myself, we would class Tom Cleverley as a Watford legend.
Mm-hmm. Well, since he's taken charge, as we said, he was appointed interim head coach back in March. He's overseen 7 games, 1 win, 1 defeat and 5 draws. I think it is quite a few nil-nils in there. So what has he changed and how have Watford been playing under Cleverley?
So I think the main, you know, thing has changed, and the main thing you'll probably notice as a reporter is the change of system. Under Valerian Ismail, we played a 4-3-3, which is quite common. You'll find most teams kind of playing that system now. But what Cleverley's done is he obviously highlighted an issue with the Watford defence. He's seen that there's been an issue with conceding goals, and he's gone to a back five. So you now play 3 centre-backs and then 2 wing-backs, and then we play the 3 in midfield and the 2 up top. The change of system will be more evident defensively. I think Watford have definitely looked more solid under Tom Cleverley. We have conceded quite a few late goals, unfortunately. Maybe a few wins we should have had that hadn't quite happened. That's the main thing Tom Cleverley's changed. He's come in, changed his system to that 5 at the back. And I think he's just instilled the basics, really, in football, having a good work ethic, running for each other, leadership on the pitch, being vocal, the basics, really, that, you know, most football players should do on a football pitch. He's kind of instilled back into this Watford team. And I think that represents Cleverley as a player as well. I think when you talk about Tom Cleverley's professional career, you describe him perhaps as a workhorse in midfield. And that's certainly, you know, what we've seen from the Watford team since it's taken over. So it's not the most prettiest of football. Don't expect tiki-taka football from us. But yeah, defensively, I would say we're looking a lot more solid, which is definitely good to see.
Mm. Yeah, as you mentioned, he replaced Valerian Ismail in March. And the last time Sunderland would have seen Watford was back in October, with Sunderland winning 2-0 at the Stadium of Light. And I think it was the day before the game, actually, that Watford released a statement. And I think a lot of people saw the statement and thought, well, he's been sacked. But he actually got offered a contract extension before that game at the Stadium of Light. And I remember after the game at the Stadium of Light, Ismail took a long time to come out for his post-match press conference. He was clearly having a long discussion with the squad. So are you able to just describe how things kind of unraveled there from getting that new deal in October, that game against Sunderland back in October, and then him then leaving the club in, I think it was around March time, February time?
Yeah, well, the Sunderland game, actually, as you mentioned, it was a 2-0 defeat for Watford. Mm. And that actually kind of acted as the catalyst for actually going on quite a good run of form up until Christmas after that game. Valerian Ismail came out and mentioned that the squad had a frank discussion with each other in the dressing room. You mentioned he took a while to come out to his post-match press conference. And that actually did act as a catalyst for quite a decent run of form. And Watford, you know, towards the Christmas period, were only 3 or 4 points away from them top six positions. Now, I myself was getting quite excited. But yeah, it all kind of went a little bit wrong. You mentioned the contract extension decision. Usually when you hear a statement from Watford on Sky Sports News, for example, you expect it to be a managerial sacking. So when we did hear of his extension, it was certainly a surprise. I wouldn't say I agreed with the decision, because when he came in during the summer, he actually agreed a 2-year deal. So I was expecting maybe him to see out that first year, reassess his situation in the summer, and then offer him an extension. But Watford clearly felt at the time they could work with Ismail. They clearly felt there was a good working relationship there between Gino Pozzo, our owner, and Ismail. And they clearly felt he warranted the extension. Now, obviously, in hindsight, that was maybe the wrong decision, because they since sacked him in March. But yeah, it did come as a surprise. I know a few Watford fans weren't actually that happy, but the game did act as a catalyst for a good run of form. And yeah, just prior to Christmas, after the Sunderland game, Watford were, you know, quite close to them playoff positions. So yeah, there were positives to that. But yeah, as I said, in hindsight, it was sacked in March. So clearly was the wrong decision for Watford to make.
Mm. Obviously, now there's just two games to play this season, and most Championship clubs, Sunderland included, will be expecting next season to have another push for at least a playoff place. So I'm assuming under Cleverley, the aims will be, and with the owners being pretty ruthless as they are, will be to aim for the playoffs next season.
Yes, I would say so. I think for Watford fans, we have kind of readjusted our expectations. I think that we're all expecting Cleverley, hopefully, to be here for a more long-term project, mm-hmm. you know, looking 2 to 3 years in the future. So I think, yes, a playoff chase would be really, really nice. And we did get close to that at times this season. But I think under Tom Cleverley, we're just looking for some stability and some good recruitment, actually, in the summer. But yeah, overall, I think, you know, the biggest aim of all is to try and get into them playoff positions for both Sunderland and Watford, of course. But for me, I'm just looking for a solid season, you know, a top 10 finish perhaps next year. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just getting some good characters around the squad and continuing to build on actually quite a good atmosphere at the club at the moment since Cleverley's come in.
Mm-hmm. I was just wondering as well, and this may still sting you, but going back to last season when the club appointed Rob Edwards and he was there for, I think, about 10 games. I remember being at, I think the Sunderland game was actually his last game before he got sacked. It was a 2-2 draw at Vicarage Road the last time Sunderland were there. And then he was sacked shortly after that, and he's then gone on, obviously, to Luton and has got them promoted. And
remind me, Joe.
They're running in the Premier League. But I'm just wondering kind of what Watford fans, what are their view on that now after kind of how that played out and how where Watford have gone since then and where Rob Edwards is now with Luton?
There's definitely some, I don't know quite what the right word is here, but I think you could actually see some similarities between where we are now with Cleverley and Rob Edwards. We brought Rob Edwards in from Forest Green Rovers. He had a great season with them, took the step up to Watford. And what we had initially under Rob Edwards was, again, quite a good atmosphere around the club. It was a young English manager, again, quite similar to Tom Cleverley. And we felt as fans, we were moving in the right direction at that time. Everyone, it seemed, was on the same page. And then, as you say, you know, I think it was, you know, 6 or 7 games even, he got sacked, moved to Watford's biggest rivals in Luton Town, got them promoted and got them in a fighting chance of, you know, staying in the Premier League this season. So I think it's clear to everyone that a mistake was made there. There was a lot of fallout from the decision to sack Rob Edwards. There was a lot of Gino out protests, a lot of protests against the ownership, against Scott Duxbury, our CEO. So yeah, last season definitely was one of the worst I've seen in terms of atmosphere around the club. And I think the club probably will admit, you know, not publicly, but I'm sure internally they will know they made a mistake by sacking Rob Edwards. But I do hope now with Cleverley, again, a young English manager, you know, we can get back on that right track, build a really nice, positive, friendly atmosphere around the club. And yeah, hopefully, you know, move, you know, right back in, you know, a good positive direction. But, you know, talking about Luton briefly, I have to say fair play. Yes, I resent them as our fiercest rivals. But, you know, he's done a cracking job there, you know, on a very limited budget actually as well. So, yeah, for me, fair play to Rob Edwards. Obviously, I don't wish him the best anymore. But, yeah, he's certainly done, you know, a very good job over in Luton.
Mm-hmm. Well, looking back to this weekend's game, then you mentioned there about the atmosphere with Cleverley and this weekend's game will be Watford's last home game of the season. So what is the atmosphere going to be like? Obviously, as we've said before, both sides don't have much to play for, but what will the atmosphere be like at Vicarage Road on Saturday?
I'm expecting a really good atmosphere, actually. Yeah. I don't know how many tickets we've sold, but we've had pretty, you know, good attendances this season for where we are in the table. And yeah, I'm expecting, you know, a really positive, hopefully uplifting atmosphere. Obviously, Tom Cleverley, you mentioned earlier, just recently been announced as the full-time manager. So I'm sure just prior to kickoff, he'll get a great announcement on the pitch by our stadium announcer. And as I said, you know, that should give the players something to play for. You know, a lot of these players who haven't performed maybe up to the standards they should have this season, you know, will be playing for their Watford careers and their Watford future at the club. Tom Cleverley is now the confirmed manager. They know who their manager will be next season. So I think, you know, out of the two teams, I would say the Watford players certainly, you know, should have the edge in this game in terms of motivation. So, yeah, I'm hoping, you know, we'll go and get the win. Tom Cleverley is yet to win at Vicarage Road in his tenure as interim head coach and full-time head coach, of course. So he's eagerly awaiting that first home victory. So, yeah, hopefully that will come on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, as you say, that should act as a more of a motivator, really, then for Watford with Cleverley, then knowing that Cleverley is going to be in charge next season. Looking at the Watford squad this season compared to last season, I remember watching Watford and they looked quite heavily reliant on João Pedro, who was obviously sold to Brighton last summer. And it seems like they've still got a few players there that were there when they were in the Premier League. But who are the main players that Sunderland will need to watch out for on Saturday?
Yeah, there's a few. There's probably three I'll highlight here for you today. So you've got Yasir Espriu, who's our young Colombian wonder kid. 6 goals, 6 assists, I believe, in the Championship so far this season. And he's kind of taken on, you mentioned João Pedro, he's taken on that role of being Watford's creative outlet. There's so many fantastic passes he does. He's got that low centre of gravity. He can turn away from his man as well. So certainly from an attacking perspective, Yasir Espriu is our main threat to watch out for. Defensively, Wesley Hoot plays on the left side of them three defenders. He's a class player. Obviously, I'm sure you might know him from Southampton during his time in the Premier League. Then he's come to Watford, kind of revitalised his career back in England. And he's certainly been our more consistent player this season. And actually, they've not announced it yet, but he probably will win Watford's player of the season this year. So Wesley Hoot, from a defensive standpoint, is one to look out for. And if he's fit and available, Tom Dele-Bashiri in midfield, a bit of a box-to-box midfielder, really, really exciting prospect. He joined Watford a few years ago from Manchester City's academy. He had some trouble with injuries. He was out for a few months of injury, you know, a couple of times actually. So he's really struggled with that. But this has been really his breakout big breakout season at Watford, and he's been really a consistent first team player throughout the entire of this season. His dribbling ability, his ball carrying ability going forward as well is superb to watch. So those are the three key players I'd highlight. You've got Yasser Espria, Tom Delibashiri in midfield, and then Wesley Hute defensively is really consistent. So those are the three players I'd highlight from a Watford perspective going into this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just reading before that Delibashiri, he missed the whole game, didn't he, with an injury last weekend. So we're not sure if he's going to be back or not. I'm sure Cleverley will provide an update when he speaks to the media. But you were saying earlier that Cleverley's kind of switched to this back five system. So how do you think they will approach the game against Sunderland in terms of Watford are the home team? They'll probably be expected to be maybe a bit more on the front foot. But as you said, he's tried to tighten things up at the back by going to this back five. So how do you think he will approach the game?
Yeah, it's an interesting one because actually during his time as under 18 head coach, he played a completely different system. He played in that 4-3-3 system, I believe, during his time as the under 18s coach. And as I said, he come in, you know, tried to solidify this Watford team. As I mentioned earlier, there's really nothing for either team to play for. Watford desperately need that home win. We've not won at home in a championship since, I believe, late November, which has been really hard for me to watch as a season ticket holder going to the game. So I think from a Watford perspective, potentially we may see a change of system going back to the back four, potentially, looking ahead longer term to next season. He might want to try a few different systems out. We'll have to wait and see. Certainly, he may look to stick with the back five because that's what he's implemented since he's come in. But equally, wanting to get that home victory, he might look to go more attacking and go for that 4-3-3 system, which is more familiar to what the players have been, utilising under Ismail this season.
Mm-hmm. And just finally, we usually just ask our guests to say, kind of, have you seen much of Sunderland this season? Just to kind of get an outside perspective looking in, what have you made of kind of Sunderland's season and how do you think they will match up against Watford on Saturday?
Yeah, Sunderland I find to be quite an interesting team because obviously being a Watford fan, I don't watch too many Sunderland games, but you certainly have a few players that I really like. Dan Ballard at the back is a player who I really highly rate, actually. I play Football Manager quite a lot, and Dan Ballard is always a sign I'll need to make my Football Manager save. Callum Stiles as well is a player Watford are actually linked with for our left-back position in the summer transfer window initially. And obviously, he's now with you guys. Callum Stiles is a player I really like. And then you've got JB Bellingham, Jack Clark. So I think for me, looking at Sunderland, initially, it looked like you might be in that playoff race. And then you seem to have tailed off towards the end of this season for whatever reason. You could maybe enlighten me a little bit more into that. I think you have the makings of a pretty good squad there. You've got a few promising young players. Hopefully you can keep hold of them, in this summer transfer window. Jack Clark going forward again, really talented player. JB Bellingham, of course, as a very high profile family member playing over in Real Madrid. As I mentioned, Dan Ballard at the back seems really solid to me. So no complaints to me. I think Sunderland are a pretty good team and I'm sure it will be a tough test for Watford this weekend. I'm just baffled as to why, your form has dropped off, really.
Mm. Well, I think a lot of Sunderland fans will know. You can probably link it back to when Tony Mowbray left the club. Not that it was all going swimmingly perfectly when Tony Mowbray was in charge, but that decision to sack him in December and not really have a replacement lined up was kind of where Sunderland's season started to derail from being competing for those playoff spots and then fading away quite badly in the second half of the season. And there's probably some similarities you could draw between the two clubs in terms of they probably had aspirations of being in the top six at the start of the season and they've both changed their manager and it's just not quite worked out. And Sunderland, as you mentioned, have a lot of young players. Certainly if you're playing Football Manager, as you have been, there'd be a very good side to pick there because I'm sure the players will have a lot of potential on there. And that will be the hope in real life that those players can fulfill that potential. And in a year's time, 2 years' time, they could be a really strong championship team or even going into next season if they can keep hold of those. So that is certainly the aim at Sunderland. And we'll see if they can pull that off next season. But James, just before you go, we usually ask our guests just to have a quick score prediction. How do you think the game is going to go on Saturday at Vicarage Road?
Well, I do apologise to all the Sunderland viewers listening, but I do have to back Tom Cleverley and Watford. So I'm going to go with a 2-0 Watford victory, the first home win under Tom Cleverley at Vicarage Road. And I'm going to go with Yasir Espria to get both goals at Vicarage Road this weekend. So yeah, a 2-0 win to the Golden Boys for me. Once again, I do apologise.
No, I completely understand you going for a Watford win. It's interesting from a Sunderland point of view because their better results recently have actually been away from home. So they were beaten 1-0 by Millwall at home last weekend and haven't won at home for 6 games now, I think it is. But away from home, their last away game, they won 1-0 at West Brom, although they weren't playing great before a red card just before halftime for West Brom, which turned the game. Before that, they got a goalless draw away at Leeds. So two good away performances against good sides. So Sunderland have been better on the road in recent weeks, which makes me think at the minute they've been better up setting up with wing-backs as well, like Watford have been doing, setting up with like a back five and kind of soaking up more pressure away from home and then hitting teams on the break. That suits them a little bit more compared to when they've been at home and they've kind of the pressure's been on them to break a team down, as was the case against Millwall last weekend, and then they were hit on the break. So I think playing away could suit Sunderland. But as you mentioned before, maybe Watford's players have a little bit more motivation at this stage of the season with Cleverley being appointed. It's their last home game. So I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw for the game on Saturday between Sunderland and Watford. But James, thanks a lot for joining me on the latest episode of the Raw podcast. Sunderland's interim boss, Mike Dodds, spoke to the media early on Thursday. So you can head over to the SAFC section of the Sunderland Echo website to find his thoughts and more build-up ahead of Saturday's match. So once again, thanks a lot for listening to the Raw podcast.